Welcome to the fifth episode of Africa's LSP podcast, your premier podcast for the language services industry in Africa.
This podcast is supported by Multilingual, your go-to source for language industry news since 1987.
Hi, and welcome to the fifth episode of Africa's LSP podcast. We have with us for this edition Ashil Yahya. He is a seasoned interpreter and translator based in Benin. Ashil, you're welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Adi, for that kind introduction. And thank you for having me.
Let me add that Ashil is also my former classmate. We're both together at the Advanced School of Translators and Interpreters in Boya, Cameroon. And I think we really had a wonderful time back then, right?
Yeah, that was a great time.
Do you have any like fond memory of that time? Anything memorable?
Oh, what should I say? Probably one of those hectic days when we were all burned out and but still fighting and trying to get there. I sometimes reflect back to those days and I'm just grateful because we've made it. And yeah.
Yes, those times were really tough, but I think we've learned a lot. And we're moving on. It has really helped us in our career.
Absolutely.
Kindly introduce yourself to our audience because we have an international audience and we really want them to know who is Ashil Yahya.
All right. So my name is Ashil Yahya. I'm a conference interpreter and a translator. I'm based in Cotonou, Benin. And what should I add? I think that's the most important part of it. I'm a passionate language lover, and I love whatever is all about interacting with people from different cultures. And I think that's what led me to this profession that I enjoy so much. So that's all about me. Thank you for having me again, Adi.
You're welcome. So we want to talk about COVID-19. You know that Africa's first COVID-19 case was recorded in Egypt in February 2020. What do you think has been the impact of COVID-19? Let's talk about Benin, for instance, in terms of social life and public life, and what are some of the measures that the government took?
All right, thank you for that. Yeah, 2020 was a terrible year, and COVID-19 came in and somewhat distorted our normal way of life. In Benin, we have about 300 or 400 cases. And the government has taken some measures like imposing the wearing of masks in public spaces. And at a given point, I think that was back in March 2020, the government imposed something like a curfew around the southern region of the country. So basically, it means the country was disconnected. There was no way you could travel from the southern region to the rest of the country, because cases were higher in the southern part, and they did not want it to like disseminate all through the country. And until today, people quite much they do respect social distancing. No, not really. But they do wear a mask whenever they're going out, maybe because of the repression or the fact that the police is quite trying to get people to respect all those. But generally speaking, our activities as Beninese were not that much impacted because we did not have much cases. And because of the pervasive feeling that it is not really so dangerous to us or to people living in Benin. And I believe that's what most Africans believe. They don't feel really concerned because in most African countries, you don't find so many cases and you don't have so many deaths as well. So it has impacted the country economically speaking, in the sense that people could not exactly do business as they used to, and money is not also circulating in the country, as we locally say. So that's what I can say about COVID-19. The other thing is fear. I believe sometimes you are afraid. You want to do certain things, but you just believe there's an illness, there's a pandemic, and you just keep safe in your abode or something like that. So that's what I can say. But I was in Cameroon in January, and the situation there is worse than what we have here. I mean, worse in the sense that people do not really care about COVID-19. I was in Buea, where we studied, and after like 2 or 3 days, I became almost like the normal Cameroonian. I was not wearing any mask. I was not wearing any mask again and all that. But in Benin, the difference is that people are still wearing masks, at least when they are going out from the houses, when they have to travel to move around in town, they still wear masks, maybe because of the repression, as I said at the beginning.
All right, so we want to talk about the impact of COVID-19 on language professionals, particularly on interpreters and translators. We know that due to the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of work has gone remote, and this has somehow changed the way we do things. Can you talk a bit about what you think has been the level of preparedness of language professionals in Africa to thrive in the midst of the pandemic?
Thank you for that question. I believe when we talk of preparedness, nobody was prepared. When you follow interpreters and translators in the other parts of the world, you believe, you see that they were not prepared. And at the start, very few people could say I had what was needed for me to thrive in this difficult situation. So people were not prepared. But we are more than 1 year on, I mean, into the pandemic. So it means a lot of things have been done. People have tried to acquire equipment and do what they need to do to get the little they can get for them at least to be in that market. So today, I could say from what I see and what I hear from various colleagues, like 3 or 4 months after the start of the pandemic and the new use of remote interpreting and the remote platform for meetings, people started trying to first understand what it's all about, like taking training to get accustomed to how to use Zoom, how to use Interpretify and other platforms. And later on, people started investing in equipment, buying a new computer if you don't have a strong one, earphones, headphones, internet connection, and so on and so forth. So the preparedness was on two aspects, if I can put it that way. A personal preparedness. People invested a lot to get what they need for them to perform in that difficult market. That is the remote market. And now we are having a handful of interpretation hubs. I believe in Europe, they have more of that. But in Africa, we are at the very at the starting stage of that new trend. And I can say, for instance, that I know of at least 3 interpretation hubs in the West African region. There is one in Dakar, the other one in Abidjan, and one in Banjul. So you see, things are improving in the sense that people have, acknowledge the situation we are in and are trying to make ways out. So when you put all that together, we can say that we still have a lot to do when it comes to adjusting and adapting to the new area, but people are well equipped now to thrive in this new normal.
Can you share your personal experience in terms of what equipment you've had to get to have remote work done properly?
As far as I'm concerned, I didn't have to like invest much because I used to have a headphone and I had my internet connection and all that. When the whole thing started in 2020, what I first experienced was a period of no activity. And I was just at home, eating and drinking and sleeping and trying to occupy myself in one way or the other. But I didn't have much work to do. But the first investment I made were like taking a training on how to use Zoom interpretation. And I took that training. I took other free trainings on Kudo, and so on and so forth. But I was having the minimum equipment that you need for you to work as an interpreter. That's a earphone, a laptop, a good internet connection. So I was having that already before the start of the pandemic. So I didn't have to invest into those things afresh. So I just started getting training because I had no clue about how to use Zoom interpreting or any other platform, but I tried to learn. And the other aspect where I invested time and energy is how to find clients, because it's quite difficult because we used to work face to face to get contracts from organizations that are based in Benin. And for that matter, like for the whole of 2020, I believe I didn't have a single face-to-face meeting, you see. So I had to invest in learning how to get clients online, on LinkedIn and other platforms, so as to make ends meet. That's it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I like the fact that you are really interested in learning, upgrading yourself, because this is very important, especially in our field.
Definitely.
When interpreters in Africa attempted or are attempting to join the what I call the remote interpretation train, they will definitely face a lot of challenges due to African context. Can you share some of the challenges with us?
All right. I think the very first challenge is a general bias when we talk of Africa. You see, when people think of Africa, they think of a remote area somewhere in the bushes where there's no internet connection, where there's no light supply, and so many other very negative perceptions. So I think the first issue is about that. And today we are in an international market. We are no longer I'm working in from Benin. So my market is no longer limited to Benin. It means I can find an opportunity in China or in Japan. And in the same way, a professional who's based in Japan can find work in Benin. So it means there is a competition that started actually. And the problem is that for most professionals based in Africa, people have a negative perception about them. So we have to break through from that negative perception and then move ahead. So what are the other challenges? I think the second one I can list is related to adaptation. We have a new situation, a new normal, and people have to learn, people have to adapt, people have to face change, because it's not easy for people to just change all of a sudden the way they do business and adapt to a difficult situation. So I think the second challenge is about adaptation, your capacity as a professional, your capacity as a person to adapt to a new reality. The third, is technically speaking, we know that we have some difficulties in Africa. Yes, like internet connection, availability of light supply for some in some regions. So that's a challenge. So what you can do there is to invest and buy what the needed equipment for you to be able to cope. And the other aspect is more related to us as interpreters. You know, we love booths. We love working and we enjoy the company of a colleague in the booth, sharing, helping us in one way or the other, and just the human connection. So I think that is also a challenge for most people. They don't feel so comfortable interpreting from their room or from a herb with no interaction with a booth mate. So that's another challenge. The other one I can talk of is a Zoom fatigue or any other platform. You see, for interpreters, translators are more comfortable with sitting a whole day in front of a screen and interacting with a laptop. But for us interpreters, we are more into face-to-face discussions and face-to-face meetings. So I believe most people are having a lot of difficulties when it comes to adapting to that new reality, sitting in front of a laptop and just seeing images or videos of people who are talking and all that. The other aspect is about the rates. Since the start of the pandemic, rates are just going down and down. And the last I can mention is about investment in equipment. Because of the situation at hand in most African countries, people had to invest more than in other parts of the world. So if you did not have the financial, if you don't have the financial capacity as a language service provider, then it becomes really tricky and difficult for you to thrive in this new reality.
Yeah, these are very, very important points that you have raised. And particularly in terms of the rate issue, there seems to be some kind of debate because clients feel like they have to pay less because you are at home, you just have your internet connection and you're working, so they have to pay less. And language professionals are saying that clients actually need to pay more because there is remote interpretation is more demanding.
Yeah, I think clients should pay more because first, when they say we are not traveling, we are just sitting at our own place. Yeah, but we have to create a space that allows us to do our job. So it means the normal equipment that is hired or that is rented during a normal face-to-face meeting, that's a booth, microphones and all that, we have to invest and buy or create that reality in our rooms. So I believe it is just fair for somebody who invested that much to create that space and where the meeting organizer is no longer having to invest into that. Because in a normal meeting situation, the meeting organizer will pay for the equipment, will pay for the interpreter. But this time around, interpreters are paying for the equipment and their rates are being reduced, and that's not fair. The other thing is the psychological load of working in front of a laptop for 1 hour, 2 hours or so. It is not the same thing. And I don't have the exact data, but I read some articles recently where it is scientifically proven that it is more tiring to have a Zoom meeting than to have a face-to-face meeting. So if it is so tiring for people who are just participating, I believe for us interpreters who are to ensure people communicate freely and understand each other, it is more difficult for us to do the job. And a recent research that was carried out by a university in Europe showed that 85 or 83% of interpreters find it more difficult to work remotely, to interpret remotely. So when you add all that up, I believe meeting organizers should understand that we are doing a lot to actually service their needs. And for the sake of fairness, they should pay more to interpreters. It's not like begging for it, it's just normal. And that's what I believe should obtain in this situation.
Now, there is also, or there seems to be a trend where interpreters based in Africa are being solicited because there is a likelihood that they might take lower fees. Do you think that it is something that is really happening?
Yeah, I do believe it is happening, and it is not only even on us interpreters or translators. I think it's a global trend where people believe that just because you are seated in a village somewhere in Africa and the exchange rate that they pay mostly in dollars, you have a franc CFA for people in West Africa, for instance, and the exchange rate is quite high. So when you pay a dollar for a service in the US, the person is receiving like 500 francs CFA in his country in West Africa, in Francophone West Africa. Yeah, the trend exists. It's a reality. But I don't think it is fair. I really don't think it is fair.
I totally agree with you because somehow we are all making the same investment in terms of equipment, gaining knowledge to upgrade ourselves and all that. But if globally people think that they would pay us less because we are based in Africa, then that would really, really, really be to our disadvantage.
Absolutely, and it is also a disservice. We are not helping our fellow professionals outside of the continent if we accept such rates, because it just means a company which is based in a given country just decides not to recruit somebody just because the person is charging too high, and then they will outsource that service to somebody who's based in Africa who has the same competencies, we agree, but who will accept a lower rate. I think it's not fair to our fellow professionals who are in other parts of the world, and we should stand on the basis that if we are providing the same quality of work, if we are putting in the same amount of what do I say, investment, psychological intelligence, equipment and all that, we should receive a fair pay. And that fair pay should not be determined by where we stay or where we work from. It should be determined by the quality of the work we provide and the investment we put into providing that quality of work.
Exactly. Now let's talk about work volume before and after the pandemic. It's true that you said that at the onset of the pandemic, you spent a few, I think maybe a few months without work. Now, after everything started improving and you started having work, how has it been? Have you had more work as compared to when you were having purely on-site meetings?
Yeah, honestly speaking, I believe I have had more assignments since the start of the pandemic. I believe the pandemic came in with an opportunity as well, and I had more remote assignments, and that's quite bizarre because we believe the times are hard, and normally it should be hard for on all parts. But physically speaking, I've had no face-to-face meeting for about 1 year and a half, but online remote assignments are a lot. I've had a lot of them. I probably have had more than 50 or 60 meetings since the start of the pandemic. And before that, when we were still having face-to-face meetings, I don't think I've had that much of an assignment of assignments in that short period of time. So the trend is going up when it comes to opportunities, and we are just grateful and thankful for that.
Interesting. So that means that you agree with Johan Botha, who was our guest for the third episode. He is the director of Folio Online, an LSP based in South Africa. And he was saying that the pandemic has actually been a blessing because they have had more COVID-19 related work and it's really boosted their efforts.
Yes, I listened to that podcast and I totally agree with him. The pandemic is a blessing for the language industry. It is providing more opportunities. And the other aspect that I find quite interesting is that it has created a new market, which I term an international market, whereby you can stay in Cameroon, stay in Ghana or in Benin, and work on meetings that are virtually organized. And we no longer have that need to travel to that country, because when it comes to traveling and all that, people are reluctant to recruit from abroad. They will always prefer recruiting local staff, local professional who can do the job. But this time around, you can work from anywhere in the world, so it gives more opportunities for each and every one of us. And yeah, the pandemic is quite a blessing, despite the very negative and drastic effect it has had on us as humans and as a community.
In terms of future prospects, let's say for the last two quarters of this year or for next year, what do you think is going to be the trend? Are we going to have more remote or online meetings, or are we going to gradually shift to be having on-site meetings as well?
Okay, I believe for the two last quarters of this year, not much will change. I mean, I was so hopeful back in December 2020, expecting that we'll start 2021 with a new trend, changes and all that. But I no longer believe it will change much. I believe we'll still be having a lot of remote work for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2021. And in the future, in the long term now, I believe we'll probably move to something like a 50-50 ratio of remote and face-to-face assignments, because meeting organizers have discovered this new opportunity of working remotely for interpretation assignments, and they find it quite handy, and it is working so far, even if it has to improve. The quality of work is acceptable for now. And with the time, with the upgrades we are having on the various platforms, I believe work will be made easier for each and every one of us as interpreters and as meeting organizers. So in the future I see is probably a future where we no longer talk about only face-to-face assignments, but also more of remote assignments. So I just want to guess that we'll be somewhere around a 50-50 ratio. Maybe two, you get two meetings, a face-to-face meeting in a month, and two in a week, two in a face-to-face and two remote, and things will go that way for the rest of the time. And maybe in the longest future we can expect, probably we'll go completely virtual, because things are improving, and the people are also we should not be we should not forget the aspects of transport that is quite undermining our climate. We should be climate conscious, if I can put it that way. And for all those reasons, and financial reasons also as well, because when you are called to travel for an assignment, it comes in with a lot of financial commitment from the meeting organizers. And at the end of the day, they will find it interesting to recruit people who can work remotely. But that time, it will be up to us as interpreters in the language service providers to make sure that trend does not lead us to a situation where we are paid l less, but we receive a fair payment to work from our home, because we would have set up the needed space, equipment, and all that to deliver quality work and join the trend.
Fantastic. To wrap up, what advice would you give to language professionals in Africa based on the predictions that you have made?
So my first advice would be that we should come together, because so far what has been done, we are working in silos. Most people are investing on their part, trying to build up their career in this new normal. But what we need more is to come together, like join forces to set up hubs all through the continent. Because so far, the last report I read online note that we only have three hubs in the whole of Africa, and the three of them are in West Africa. And the other thing, on personal level, I believe we should keep learning, keep trying to understand how the various platforms work, how we as a professional can make the best out of each and each platform, and also keep investing in improving our equipment, internet connection, power supply, and so on and so forth. And the last thing, create networks, keep networking online as well as offline, and more online today because we are in social distancing. So create more networks, connect to professionals outside of the continent, and try to learn from their experience and share experience also in the continent, because the one of the thing that is in my opinion undermining the progress of our profession on the continent is we don't know how to share information among ourselves. We don't know how to work together. We have some sort of we don't trust each other on the continent. So we should connect more, try to share information, try to share knowledge, share ideas about how to make it work for all of us, rather than just thinking about ourselves all the time.
Thank you so much, Ashil. It's been really a very informative discussion. You've given us a very holistic view of the impact that COVID-19 has had on language professionals in Africa. And one key takeaway for me has been the advice for us to really come together and work together and share information. I know you've been doing a lot of that. I mean, I always see you sharing information on social media and being very active, and I appreciate that a lot. And the reason I actually reached out to you for this podcast is when I saw your article on, you wrote about COVID-19 and its impact on language professionals on LinkedIn, I believe.
Yeah, the article was published on Circuit Magazine, which is the magazine of the Ordre des Interprètes Terminologues et Traducteurs du Québec. It's like the Association of Interpreters and Translators and Terminologists in Québec, in Canada. So they were running a series of articles on COVID-19 and its impact on language professionals. So I was asked to write an article about the situation in Africa. So I gave my views and opinion about what I could say has happened so far in the continent.
That's great. So we're really glad to have had you on the podcast, and we're looking forward to better days, to the pandemic actually reducing in terms of infections, not only in Africa, but also in the entire world.
Yeah, we hope for that. And thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure, and I appreciate the work you're doing. We need more of such, especially on the continent. And I pray you have more strength to continue with this. And if there is no way we can help, we'll always be there.
Thank you so much.
We invite you to go to multilingual.com/AfricaLSP to receive a free 1-year digital subscription to Multilingual Magazine. You can also find this link in the podcast description.